Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm not sure if my voice has been picking up. Okay, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. I don't believe that I have been broadcasting correctly on the show here. Good morning, and please forgive the technical difficulties. I was speaking into a microphone that wasn't hooked up there. Let me go back for a minute and thank Nazim Rashid for his music. And what I was doing is also thanking all the listeners from all over the world that call in or at one time or another log into the show and listen to the archived shows. You never miss a show. That's why internet radio is so such a fantastic thing, is that we never miss a show, because you can always go back in, even if you come in to the show or you call into the show at 1-646-727-3758. If you call into the show while you're listening to it on the computer, that's wonderful, too. We'd love to hear from you. But if not, let me just open up our chat line here and make sure that for those of you who are not comfortable in speaking online on air, then we certainly appreciate you talking to us through chat, and we do our best to share your ideas with our guests, with our listeners. And so we really, really appreciate you. So this, what are we talking about this morning? Well, it's a continuation. Yes, it is. And one of the good things about how we do this show is that this show does not repeat the last week's information. There's always something new that we're adding to the topic. And we may indeed review a little bit from last week just to make the point clear about what we're doing. But the bottom line is that this is really new information that we'll be sharing with you today about managing school and work And that's in the face of illness, disability, and death. Now, those are some very, very heavy subjects. And I know that a lot of you have some things to say about, you know, how do you handle work, you know, when you're dealing with the fact that someone in your family has passed on. What do you do? Do you take off time? And how much time do you take off? I mean, when you think about it, some people abuse that privilege. And that's why it makes it so hard for many of us to, you know, to ask our employers or, you know, the people that we're working with, going to school with, to understand that we have to take off time because of our family. And the reason why that becomes difficult is because of people abusing that privilege. So we want to make sure that today's show, that we focus on the fact that we don't want to take advantage of the situation. We don't want people to feel that we are not being honest when someone in the family passes away. Actually, you know, when we go back into what we talked about last week, which was the illness factor, we don't want anyone to even think for a moment that we would lie about being ill going to work. I mean, it's an ethical issue. And so we brought up a number of things that are applicable for this week. Last week we had a special guest, Jewel Diamond Taylor, author and motivational speaker, that came on. And she shared some very, very beautiful things about emotional intelligence as a basic need, and that people are dealing with a lot of shame and isolation when they're dealing with illness, especially teachers. We focused on teachers at that time. And we had just a great audience. We anticipate that again. And we're just hoping that the message gets across, that we're not saying you can't be absent from work. No, that's not what we're saying at all. We're saying that you need to manage how you're presenting yourself to your employer or to your professors at school, your teachers, so that you don't look like someone who's taking advantage or abusing the system, because employers automatically know that things are going to happen in your life. That's why they have sick leave, as a matter of fact. The human, what is it, the Society of Human Resource Management, SHRM they call it, recognizes that having time off, sick days, is critical. However, in the same vein, listen to this one. This was on CNN just recently. It was a poll that was taken of workers around the globe, and it comes out that we are the only country in the world that does not take enough time off. Now, wow, we don't take enough time off? And I guess maybe that's why we deal with so much abuse in the system, is because we don't take enough time off like other countries. And then it also brought out that even when we take time out, we're not enjoying ourselves. So there's another issue with that too, is that if we're taking time off when we're not enjoying ourselves, or we're not relaxing, we're not at peace, then it's not like we even had a vacation. And I've been in the airport with people over and over and over again who said to me, I need a vacation from the vacation. All right? So that means that they really didn't get the relaxation that they were looking for, even in their vacation. Okay? And certainly, if we're looking at a death in the family, even though you have days off and you're going to a funeral, is that a time to relax? And if you used up your sick days and used up your vacation days, and now you're using up the days that you have left for funeral time, so now you're up against the wall because you've used up all those days on doing things that required a lot of energy. So now you go back to work not feeling refreshed. And so then your system, now your physical system, begins to break down because the body needs to rest. The body needs to relax. We have psychic energy, lots of psychic energy. And that psychic energy or that spiritual energy, now I'm not out there calling in all of you psychics or anything. What I'm saying is that we have a certain energy that surrounds us, that makes us go. And we attribute that, most of us, to God. The God being the energy within us, around us, outside, in us. It's omnipresent. It's always there. It's when you lay down at night, put your head on the pillow, and your heart still continues to beat, the blood still circulates, and you don't have anything to do with it. That's spirit. And that's that energy that I'm talking about. And that energy has to be replenished. It has to be refreshed. In the same way that when you're on the computer and you get a web page and it says refresh on it. So you hit it, and what it does is it stops, and it actually kind of reboots a little bit. Not reboot like it turns off the computer and comes back, but it refreshes the web page that you're on. And so that's what we all need, is refreshment. Refreshment just for a moment, and we need it often. Especially here in America, where we use up a large amount of energy working and working and working and going to school and working. And those moments that come up in our lives where we have to take off time for our families, and we look at that and we say, well, now that I've taken off time for my family, I certainly don't have enough time for me, okay? You know, there's a, I can't help but discuss the word absenteeism before we go any further. And I just wanted to make sure that we have a really, really clear picture on what the law calls absenteeism, okay? Now, remember that this show, this particular show, is focused on the fact that our discussion is about the pitfalls that can cause many of us to lose our focus on life's journey. And we lose our focus on life's journey. Losing focus can result in poor attendance at work and school. And this can also lead to burnout and drop out from life. Boy, those are heavy concepts. Burnout and drop out from life. Our emphasis today is that success is more about the journey than reaching the destination. And many of you may have seen that in posters along the wall, in different offices and schools, that success is about the journey, not about reaching the destination. Because once you reach the destination, you're always looking for another journey anyway. You know, you get bored staying in one destination. And that goes for your mind, too, staying in one place. So we move on. So we invite you to share your story about how you're moving on from being surrounded by death, illness, disability in your own personal life or in the life of those that you are close with, and how you have overcome that and still managed to control your absenteeism. Now, how did you do that? How were you able to control your absenteeism in the face of all the things that can happen in life, especially when you're talking about those unscheduled things, those unscheduled emergencies? See, we've got scheduled absences. That's when, like for instance, in my case some years ago, I was in military service. So for those veterans out there like myself, military service is a scheduled absence from your daily activities. vacations that you schedule for, medical appointments, even funerals, okay, become scheduled. Because we schedule them in. We know that there's going to be a funeral this Saturday or whatever. Jury duty is another one. And all kinds of, you know, family reunions, activities, that kind of thing. It's the unscheduled absenteeism and the tardies. Because tardies is just like being absent. You're absent from work. You're late. You're 30 minutes absent. Okay? And so we call that a tardy, but it's still an absence. So keep that in mind. I'll clear that up for you in a minute. So the unscheduled events in life are the illness that we talked about last week and family emergencies, transportation issues, household emergencies, you know, the electric going out. We've had a lot of series of blackouts and flooding across the country. So those are things that are definitely unscheduled things that can deter us from getting to work and school. But the focus is on how do we overcome a family member being ill or dying. See, that's hard, and I know it is. I empathize with any of you out there that are dealing with family members who are, in a sense, either preparing to move on, to transition to the other place, whatever we perceive that to be, or that are dealing with severe illness, and you or someone you love has to take care of you, or you're taking care of them. It's not in any way fun, and it's not relaxing, and it takes away from that energy that we're dealing with. And you know, we have Kuvich on the chat line right now, and he says, or she, evidence shows that it is not that we do not take enough time off, it's that we do not receive enough time off. And that's a very good point. I'll have to say we don't receive enough time off from employers. They're not clear on how much time to give people off. We get a 2-week vacation most of the time, and that's not enough time to really relax. By the time the 2 weeks comes, you know, we're talking about really 10 days. Because when you put in travel time and preparation time, you know, you're almost out of time, you know. And so we do have to look at employers to look at, you know, how much time we can really take off from work and what's reasonable. In France, I believe, it's 4 weeks we actually get, 4 weeks off for the French people. And they do enjoy their time off. Statistics show that they are very, very involved in their relaxation and making sure that they refresh their energy, which is something that we need to do. So back to this absenteeism and making sure that that we understand what that means. And I want to get back to that the statement that someone made, sent in to us on chat, that says, is the work fulfilling? Because that does make a difference on absenteeism, but I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. I just want to make sure that we get a really good picture of absenteeism. I think I mentioned just a moment ago about flooding and family emergencies, and we were focused on this hospice-like situation or death that can happen to someone that we love so dearly. And here we are trying to balance work and school and get around not being absent so much. There's very few absences that are considered the no-fault absences. And we can't really say, well, what does that mean? What's a no-fault absence? since each employee is allowed certain days off, a certain number of days off, there are days off that they can use at their discretion with some companies, okay? And discipline is very, very important when you're talking about taking days off under that no-fault policy. I know both my son and my daughter work for major corporations, Verizon and Toyota, and they are allowed so many personal days, I believe that's the word they call them, personal days off, in addition to the vacation days and days allotted for family members and funerals and that kind of thing. There's also federal legislation that allows people to take time off for family members who are in a severe situation where they need you to be at home, but that's without pay. You see, that was another thing. I didn't add that in. With pay and without pay, because there's absences that we have that are without pay. Those are the ones that really sting you, because now you've got to take that time off to take care of someone you love or to unfortunately prepare them for that inevitable time when they have to transition. And you're sitting there overwhelmed with grief, watching them either pass on or that they have passed on. And then you're worried about work, and then you're worried on top of that about losing pay from work. Wow, what a triple, quadruple whammy that is, okay? So how do you manage all that and still stay on top of that? We want to hear from you if you're out there listening right now via computer and you're hearing the show, but you're not sure whether or not you have something to say. I bet when you start thinking about how you've handled absenteeism in the face of losing a parent or a spouse or a child even, that's really, really a terrible situation. I've known a lot of people lately, as a matter of fact, that have lost children due to illness or accident. And it's devastating. And, of course, they need time off from the job or time off from school. And what's the balance in that? How do we find balance? Okay? I think that going back to what one person said in the chat, and there's a couple of people that are actually saying basically the same thing here, and thank you very much for sending in your statements, is that work needs to be fulfilling, work needs to be satisfying. It goes into that philosophy of Marcia Sinatar's book. I think I mentioned that. I mentioned it a couple of times, actually. Hopefully she'll listen one day and send us a little check for promoting her book. But her book is Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. And that's basically what we're saying, is your work fulfilling? Are you following your dream? Because when you are doing your best, you're happy with your job, you're happy with your school program, your goal setting is focused, you're balanced, you know what you're doing. This is not drudgery for you to go to school because you know, I mean, it's hard. Don't get me wrong. We do empathize with that. My students have a difficult time with trying to get the homework done and all the projects that come up. But they know it's necessary. If they set their goals correctly and this is what they really want to do, then it doesn't become such drudgery as if you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, because somebody else wanted you to have this particular job or wanted you to go to school for this reason. And then all of a sudden, all of these other things come into play in your life, such as death in the family. I noticed that, and I'll have to compliment our first guest who spoke about, is your work fulfilling? That when your work is fulfilling, interestingly enough, you want to get back to work. So you find a way to snap out of it quicker than you would if you're not satisfied with work. People who are not satisfied with work they tend to prolong the issue of staying out of work because of illness or death in the family. You know, it's where normally it would take 2 or 3 days to get over a flu virus, you land up into a 2-week period where maybe you could have gone back. The incubation period for the virus is usually about a 48 to 72 hour time span where you can actually be a contagious person. And after that, you're just suffering from the disease leaving your body, dis-ease leaving your body. And so the body cleanses itself, and so you're still feeling, blah, blah, but you could still work. But if you're not fulfilled at work, if you don't feel good about your job or your school plans, your goals, then you will drag it on, won't you? And you've seen people do it. Either, if you haven't done it yourself, you've seen others do it. And it doesn't make anybody feel better to continually drag on the situation and continue to be out of work and absent from life. Yeah, absent from the life that you built. Whether or not you liked it or not, you built it. It's your life. Now, we encourage people very, very early on, especially at White Apple Institute and other career and counseling institutions, agencies, therapists, we encourage people to choose something that they love to do for this very reason. Okay? It makes life so much easier when you sit down and really say, you know, this is what I want to be a nurse. Let's just use that as an example. I want to be a nurse. But then there are lots of things in your life that people will come up with and say, gosh, that's a lot of time that you're going to invest, a lot of study, you know, it's a lot of math. And so you get all these voices telling you that this is not going to be a good thing. But you know that you love it. If you love it, then you go for it. Because when those times come, when there's illness and death and disability somewhere in your life that turns your life a little upside down, being in the situation at work and school that you enjoy and that you recognize, I chose this. When you empower yourself to know that I chose to be here at this particular moment. And when you do that, you feel much better. And you're able to grasp the concept of, I got to get back to work. I know this is happening. I know my mom's sick. I know my husband's not feeling well. He's in the hospital. I know my kid is, he's in the hospital. Or he just got diagnosed with some kind of kidney failure. These are hard things that happen in life. But somehow or another, especially if you have the kind of job where you can go in, pick up work, and work from home, you'll find a way to keep your job and keep your school program open because it's what you want to do, that you feel better about doing. But some of us feel guilty. Let's talk about that for a minute. We feel guilty. Guilty about not being there for our child, for our spouse, for our parents. How can I continue to go to work? How can I take that class that I've been planning for 2 years now? I've been on a waiting list, and now that class is ready to take me in. That program is ready to take me in, but my mom is sick. How do you deal with that? You just do, my friends. You just do. because life is going to continue on. And when I say that, I mean the roller coaster. The roller coaster ride of life is still going to continue, my friends. It doesn't stop. What happens to us many, many times is that as we're dealing with that roller coaster that happens in everyone's life, and I mean that, by that I mean that life goes up and life comes down. Whoa, that's it. Life comes up and life goes down. And so when you think about it from that perspective, it does become like a roller coaster. And here's the key, is that when we are dealing with that roller coaster of life, we have to understand that no, moms don't get sick constantly, and our children don't get sick constantly. But the roller coaster of life tells us that things are going to happen. So it may be this month, it may be mom. And next month, it may be something else. It might be someone else in our family. And so how much time do we actually have to take off? See, that's something to consider. It's not just one time. It's not just, oh, I missed a couple of days last month. It's the factor that how was your job, your life affected by taking that time off? Do you stretch it more? Do you abuse it? Do you abuse the time off? Think about why you're abusing the time off. Maybe this is time to reflect on. Maybe I'm not happy. Maybe this is not what I love to do. Maybe my goals have changed. My focus has changed. So maybe it's time to rethink things. Because once you get away from that work environment, I mean, emotionally, you pull away from it. You're tugging away from it to be with someone that you love because they're ill and there's a possibility of death. Or inevitable that they're going to die. I was with someone this morning who was telling me that her brother is in the very severe stages of liver and lung cancer. And so there's very little that can be done for him. And even when I asked her, I said, well, there have been people that have pulled out of these circumstances by cleansing themselves and diets. Of a diet of vegetables and fruits and all kinds of, all types of, not electrolytes, amino acids, the naturopathic remedies that we can take that build up our immune system and help us fight against the cancers of life. When we can obtain those, some of us can get better. But she said something to me that was really interesting. She said, but you have to have the participant. So as much as I want to tell my brother about all the homeopathic things that he can do and all the things that will help him to get better and get back to work and to his life, he's got to want to participate. And he doesn't want to participate. He's given up. He's given up. That means he's burned out and dropping out of life. Let's try to reach out and save him and so many others right now by discussing with them that, number one, you do not have to give up unless you want to give up. Number two, you do have an opportunity to create change in your life. And number three, you can do it. Put your mind to it and just do it. Okay? So put your mind to it and let's just do it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about let's do it. Let's be committed to the job program. Let's be committed to the school program enough where when illness and death and even disability comes up in our lives, that we recognize that it doesn't mean life has to stop. Now, everyone has their own unique situation of looking at that. So, I mean, you know, there's always exceptions to the rule. But I'm talking about it from a general perspective, just looking, because all of you have your own unique consequences or situations, I should say. And there's no way in the world I could know all the parameters, all the different variables or things that are impacting your life. But one thing that I do know for sure is that if you stay committed and focused to participate, then you can actually become a contributing factor, not only in your own life, but in the life of so many others, even mine, if you share your story with us, even mine. My life would be impacted by listening to your story of overcoming the barriers that make you feel happy. It's unfortunate that most of our disabling conditions deal with feeling well. You must feel well, you must be well, you must believe that. And that goes for your physical body as well as your emotional and mental body. Don't give up. Don't give up because someone in your family has passed on. Don't give up because you feel very, very sick. Don't give up. You can get through it. Just hang in there and let life run its course. You notice when you're in that roller coaster of life and you take that roller coaster ride down, that there's something called inertia or, let's just make it simple, a gravitational pull that can keep you down or you can use it to keep you up by the way you're acting. It's a horrible situation to be in where either you're dependent on somebody else to take care of you or you are the one taking care of somebody else. And these feelings come up about, oh no, who died now in my family? Think about that for a minute. Don't drop out. Go back to what the employers are calling absenteeism and make it a no fault. Take a personal day every once in a while. Take a compensated personal day. And even if it's not compensated, in other words, if you're not being paid for taking it, schedule one anyway. Don't wait for someone to die in your family. Don't wait to get sick or your children to get sick before you take a time off. Take it off. Take off Monday or Tuesday. And look at a little bit of some of the judge shows or soap operas. I, too, need to do that. I remember once I went through a series of excessive absenteeism with an employer. And it was about my children. You know, see, that's really hard, especially for single mothers to deal with. I've got to stay home with my son and my daughter because they're not feeling well. And I can imagine what it must be like for someone who has six or more children. Because when my children became ill, it was devastating. And I had to take that time off. And it was uncompensated. I did not get paid. So therefore, there was my time. And granted, it was a 10-day period that I took off. But it hurt my goal planning. My goal planning, the classes that I was in. That's part of my goal planning. So we'll be approaching, in most schools, a 45-day evaluation pretty soon. And I hope that most of you will be able to look back on this time period and look at winning one of those attendance awards, the attendance awards. Remember those? Good attendance. They clap for you in an assembly or even in the classroom. Maybe you got to wear a hat. This does have it. It's still a hat that signifies that you went through a process and still didn't take off time. Companies love that. I see some of you shaking your head, even though I can't see you out there. I can tell you're shaking your heads and saying, that's right. I feel you. I want you to always remember this, that being absent from life is being absent from work or from school is just as important, if not even more important, than being absent from life. Because you're going to have to deal with it, the repercussions of taking that time off. And you want to get back to work as soon as possible. And especially if you're traveling to another place, another state, and you're dealing with the factor that you have to be at work, and time is up, you've already exceeded your 10 days or whatever. They gave you funeral pay of 3 days. Then you had to scramble and get the money together to do to take more time off. This is exhausting. It's exhausting. It's a whirlwind when you think about it. You're going around and around. Stop and refresh. Refresh so that when you do take that time off for the emergencies in life, emerge. Life emerges into life. And when you take off that time, you won't feel so guilty because you'll know that you have done the best that you could. And that's the key, isn't it? Is doing the best that you can do. And that's all anyone can ask. So if doing the best you can do is cleaning your shoes, I still think that is commendable. I think it's commendable for you to do whatever you can. If it's just getting up and making yourself or somebody else a cup of soup when you don't feel well or when they don't feel well. Keep on going. Keep moving. Manage your life. Manage your illnesses. Manage your death in the families, your family, your death in your family. Manage it. Manage your disability. You can do it. You do not have to wear the label of disabled. You don't have to wear the label of illness, of always being sick, of always taking time off from work. You don't have to be that label. You don't have to live in that type of, in that category. And we know people that do it. We know people that are classified as always being gossipers, people that are classified as, you know, always late. You know, I know a lot of people like that. I was speaking to someone not too long ago, and they were saying that one of the things that they attribute people being late to is, of course, poor time management. And we'll start moving towards that with about 12 minutes left of the show this morning. We still encourage those of you that are on chat or listening to the show via computer to give a call in if you feel comfortable with calling in at 1-646-727-3758. And, oh my, we have an email here. I didn't mean to overlook you on this. Okay. Yes, okay. One of the emails that came in from one of the board members for White Apple Institute is talking about the factor that absenteeism is sometimes related to not taking, to not eating properly, too. And so when you don't eat properly, you get sick, and it becomes a whirlwind or domino effect. I think that's what she's trying to say, a domino effect, where if you're not eating properly, if you're not taking in good nutritious food, balancing out your nutrition, good protein, carbohydrates, vegetables, fruits, that kind of thing, that when you don't do that and you become ill with any kind of virus, flu virus or stomach ache or whatever, it's exacerbated. It's worse because you're not taking care of yourself. So again, back to where something could have been a day or two off, now we're looking at a week off. And that could have been prevented by taking some prevention measures. So one of the prevention measures that you can take is not just eating properly, taking in the physical food, but also the mental food. As one of our staff members has brought out many times, mental food is so important. It's just as important as our physical food coming in. As a matter of fact, I think it's more important because you can't get the physical food unless your mental food is together. And that mental food is what you feed into your brain to make sure you have the proper thought process going to put the physical food in, the proper thought process to stay motivated, the proper thought process to stay away from things that continually drag you down, like being around people that are always sick. And I don't mean the sickness that they can't help. I'm talking about the sickness that they continue to generate in their life. Always being sick, always finding a way to be sick, to quit a job, to quit school. And you look back on their life and you say, gosh, I've known this person for 20 years. And I can't even remember how many jobs they've had. Because they're always getting sick. Every time they get a job, they lose the job. I'm surprised that so many jobs, you know, are open to them. Because they're always losing jobs due to illness. They're always taking off time because someone died in the family. And there's an old joke that goes on in human resources where how many uncles have to die? And be careful that you don't use the same uncle's name, because how many times does an Uncle John die? How many Uncle Johns do you have in your family? Oops, you messed up there. Did you mean Uncle Sam? Uncle John? Uncle Bill? Which one are you talking about now that died? And how many days off do you need for that? You only have the one mother. So you can't go around saying, how many times can you say, my mom has passed on, and so I need to take time off from work? But it's still a devastating thing, isn't it, when we lose a parent and we lose time off of work for that. We have a caller online right now. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. I am enjoying listening to your show.
Thank you.
And I
want
to say good morning, and I don't want to break the rhythm that you have, because it's wonderful.
Thank you.
You are saying, so I will just listen. But you all, everyone on this show, have a very blessed day. Thank you for letting me through.
Is there anything that you can share? Because this is Dr. Ponitz. This is Dr. Beverly Ponitz from ASU?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. This is one of our board members, listeners. And recently, and I thank you for calling in, if you don't feel comfortable speaking about this, it's okay.
I know where you're going to go with it, and I'd rather not at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All
anyway.
Right. Okay. Well, we thank you so much for calling in and for listening to the show today. And one of the things we want our listeners to know out there is that when you want to develop that strength within yourselves, as many of us do, develop a strength within us, and it's deep within us, that says no matter what's going on in my life right now, because life happens, and as I said earlier, that roller coaster of going up and down is going to happen, and we're going to lose those precious to us in our life. Dig deep inside of you and find that source of strength to get you through. And you will find it. And it's painful. It's painful to break through the barriers, my friends, of the pain and the grief of losing someone, and then the overwhelming anxiety that comes from, oh my God, I got to get back to work. I got to get back to my classroom. If you're a teacher, oh, it's heavy. Because now, or a doctor, or anyone in the medical field, you have a responsibility to get back to other people. So here you are out there in the world dealing with your own personal grief situation, and you have 30 or more people waiting for you to come in and teach them something, to share your time and your energy, and you're dragging, because some of us don't even get any sleep when we're in situations where we're taking care of someone in our family, a child that's been ill, or parent, or a relative, anyone that's very close to us, and we can stay up night after night with them taking care of them, and then we still drag ourselves into work. What kind of strength is that, my friends? Where does that come from? You know, you don't have to share your story online, on air, on live air, but maybe you'd like to write it in to me. And I promise you, I'll keep it anonymous, so you can just keep it anonymous. And you can email me into the show. You can make a comment on the show on blogtalkradio.com/student-to-teacher. And tell us a little bit about your story. And you'd be surprised at how many people will be encouraged by hearing how you may have overcome this situation of dealing with illness and death in the family. And also, getting back to what one of our listeners sent in on chat just a little while ago, was, is your work fulfilling? And I think that I'm going to tie that in as we close to time management. Because when work is fulfilling to you, and that means work and school, a lot of people like to separate the two like they're not related. But I assure you, we usually, most of us, go to school to improve our future work or our present workload. That's what we go to school for. We want to improve ourselves, to put ourselves in a better financial position, or empower ourselves to gain more knowledge, so that we can be more rounded out. So they both go hand in hand. Wherever you're learning from, and it doesn't have to be in a classroom sometimes. Well, certainly we know that because I'm teaching online now. So we have a lot of online information that can happen. People can, I can't stress enough about finding alternatives when you do have to take a lot of time off. And one of those alternatives is if you have the kind of job where you can still work at home, where you can take some of your work home and actually perform it or your schoolwork. And you can get it done because we have online access. We have technology that can help us with that. And so as I'm on a roll with talking about this, as Dr. Polnitz says, I do get on these rolls, right? And when I get on these rolls, I want to make sure that we get that information in about how, first off, doing what you love and managing your time. Those are the two things that I want you to remember from today's show. And we'll get back to doing what you love in just a moment. But let me get into a little bit of time management here, because you're only going to be able to do time management to really seriously plan your time if you want to do it. It's not something that's just going to fall into place for you because it's there and because there's books out there and seminars. It's going to fall into line because you sit down and you schedule fixed blocks of time. You schedule time for fun, as we talked about earlier. Time for errands, time to set realistic goals and set some flexibility in those realistic goals. If you're going to school, set some time for study. And this is something that a lot of people are not aware of, or they just ignore when it's said to them by advisors at school. For every hour that you're in class, you need to allot a minimum of 2 hours study. So if you're taking a three-credit-hour class, you need at least 6 hours of study time outside of the classroom, okay? Now, closing with this, my dear friends out there, do what you love. When you do what you love, you don't have to worry about abusing absenteeism. You don't have to worry and feel guilty and anxiety-ridden when you take time off. You're doing what you love, and you're going to want to go back to work. We thank you so much for joining us today on the Student to Teacher Show. This is Professor Applewhite, and we thank our sponsors, especially White Apple Institute, and we thank Nazim Rashid for his great music and his book Reconnected, which has the foreword from yours truly, Professor Applewhite. Have a great week.